Good morning, family. It's a small but mighty group. Amen. Yes. This last week in our Bible study, I... What?
Over here.
Why? Oh. Hi, family. Yeah, here I am. It's the camera. I didn't realize. Okay, so... This last week in our Bible study, our ladies' Bible study on Tuesday night, we were talking about in Acts 4 how Peter and John were before the crowd and how they appeared to be uneducated and untrained men, but they could tell that they had been with Jesus. And I started thinking about that. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and I was thinking about that for, you know, the couple weeks before that, and I thought, can people tell that I've been with Jesus with my life? Can they tell? Or do they wonder, oh, I wonder if she might be a Christian? You know what I mean? I want people to know that I've been with Jesus. So we have this wonderful opportunity this morning, even though there's just a few of us, we have the opportunity to be with Jesus. And so this morning, be with him. Don't let anybody or anything distract you or keep you from giving your very best to him, because he gave his very best for us. So, Father, we lift up this service to you. We place it in your very capable, able, willing, wonderful, beautiful hands, praying, Lord, that you would be glorified and you would be honored today. Father, help us to be obedient in our reaction to your expectation of what today should be like. Help us, Lord, to walk out that people would know we've been with you today. They would see that we've been with you today. Bless the worship team as they lead us. Bless everyone that's not here, that's out for some reason or another. Bless all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. When I was reading through Revelations multiple times, so I think it's Revelation, but I would say shuns. Multiple times I continue to pick up that theme of heaven constantly praising Jesus, constantly worshiping the Lamb, constantly lifting the name of the Lord. And that's what our Sundays together, that's part of what we do, is that we're One Life Family worship, is to worship the Lord. And worship isn't always just, and this isn't a worship session, so don't worry. It's like we're on family today, but worship isn't just, singing songs, lifting hands. Mm-hmm. It's also a heart condition. And so how our heart is either focused on God or not focused on God could be either way. Worship is when we're letting our being interact with Him. We're letting our thoughts engage with Him and our total who we are. Amen. Waiting for you to chime in, and you're just getting all chime. Things are ready. Chime. Praise the Lord. You got here a second. There we go. So we're going to go ahead and pray for Yakima County.
I'm just wondering if anybody has noticed the map out in the foyer.
Oh, yes. You got
it's up on the wall.
Finally.
If you haven't seen it, go out there and pray toward it and ask Jesus to touch
it. Yeah, when you come in the morning, think of Yakima and pray for it. And when you're driving your car around, think of Yakima. When you're at work, think of Yakima. I mean, it's where we are, and it's to where we're to let our light shine.
Amen.
Well, Father, we do. We lift up Yakima before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we thank you, God, that you are at work in lives here. Even though, Lord, sometimes we don't see it, we know that under the currents, under the radar, Lord, that you are working in lives. Lord, and we pray for those today, Lord, that are close to receiving you. As you said to the lawyer who asked you the question of what's the greatest commandment, and he said, you've answered right, Lord. Lord, that you told him he was near the kingdom of God, Lord. So we know there's ones out there, Father, that are near. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we pray that you would draw them in to the family. Lord, you would draw them in to your very presence and draw them into your saving grace. Pray, Lord, that if there's any obstacles, any barriers that the enemy continues to put up that are keeping them from coming to your full truth, Lord, that you'd remove those obstacles. You would remove those barriers from their lives. Lord, we pray for salvation for Yakima. Lord, that hearts and minds and lives, Lord, would be transformed. And Lord, the city would be transformed from it. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for our government leaders. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just allow them to be guided and led by you, that they would no longer try to do things their own way, but that they would hear your voice. And Lord, if they don't hear your voice, Lord, that you would allow godly counsel, wisdom to come and speak, Lord, before them, and that they would heed that. Lord, we know that we're in different times, and that things are not as they used to be. But Father, we know that you can change hearts and minds. You can transform, Lord, lives. And we pray for that, for the cabinet of President Biden and for Congress, Lord, the Senate and the House, Lord. We pray for our judicial system, the Supreme Court, Lord, and all the different department heads, Lord, and the different links of government, God. We just pray statewide and countywide, Lord, and regional, Lord. We just pray that you would just touch hearts and lives, Lord, and allow them to hear the truth, and that they would respond to the truth, Lord, and not push it away. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to go ahead and talk about our...
Well, we do have a bunch of our loved ones out not feeling well. So as the week goes forward, please be praying for them. And
Eric and Nancy especially.
Eric and Nancy and their family and Jesse and, yes, and Tara's home with a cold. And so we have quite a few people that are out. If you think that you're sitting in the record of how low we've gone in people, let it be said you're not. We've actually had church with seven people before. And then there was the farmer that went to church, and it was just him and the pastor because the snow had fallen so deeply the night before. And the pastor said, well, since it's just the two of you, me and you, may as well go on home. And the farmer advises him, if only one cow comes to the barn, I still have to feed him. So he wasn't letting him off the hook. So even if one comes, we're still having church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So,
amen. So, did we find out about this?
Yeah, there is no youth tomorrow.
No youth tomorrow because the Lopez family is home and ill.
And it was sad because it's going to be their kickoff night downstairs in there. So and that's church. But it'll be next week.
Something to look forward to next week.
Yeah, there you go.
And then every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 on Zoom is ladies. And if you would like to be included in that and get a receive a text from me on Tuesdays, just send me a message via this phone number. And I will text message you back saying how to get on. And we have a wonderful time. We have women from Utah and women from Michigan that get on. And so it's lovely to see all those faces on. We did have five this last week, and that was lovely. And Soli from Utah was with us, and it was lovely. And so if you want to join in, just text that number, and I'll include you on the text. And then every Wednesday night, it's his turn. And he has a bunch of guys from Tri-Cities and a bunch of guys from up here. And they get together. And boy, I hear him because he, like Eric said, we have a bed that kind of tilts up and he lays back in that bed. I can hear him getting loud and then laughing and then getting soft and then getting loud again. So I'm like, they're having a fun time in there. But anyway, so if there's any men in your life and they would like to be included, just text pastor's number and he'll send you a text back.
Exactly. Let you know the times. And so then
Wednesday, October 13th. Are we there?
Yep.
October 13th is, again, young adults. And it's going to be at Mendelane's and they're going bowling. So if you're a young adult, make sure that you see Pastor Eric or Nancy. They will get you the information, and I'm sure they would love to have everybody join them. Vicki, did you have something?
Oh, that's going to be coming up.
It's coming up next.
Yeah, we have that.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that one?
No. We'll go ahead and go to what's next week.
The 13th.
Next Sunday. Oh, no, the 10th. Sunday.
Yes, on the 10th.
Hang on, let me get it here.
Zeke and Tara are going to be heading off the Waffle Worship and the Word. So we're going to start with waffles at 10 o'clock, and then we'll go right into worship, and then we'll have the Word, and then we'll go back for more waffles if anybody's hungry.
So it actually should be Waffles Worship the Word and Waffles.
And waffles, but it's over here.
Worship sandwich.
We will try and stay distanced. And most people don't care about that, but some do. And so there are four different tables. And I think we'll bring out a big round table out here in the middle.
Yeah, we usually do.
So we can really spread it out really good.
So invite
family and friends. It's a wonderful time for people to see that we're a lot of fun, that we're not all serious and solemn. Not that I could ever say that we're serious and solemn. But,
sometimes.
But invite your family and your friends, and they can enjoy waffles with us. So that's lovely.
And then this coming Friday and Saturday at Breakthrough Church, they're going to have an all-city night of worship. So it's going to be on Fridays. And so that's the one you're talking about, right? 6:30.
So it's at their church?
It's at their church, yep.
Okay. Yeah, they'll be in the parking lot.
So oh, they'll be in the parking lot. Okay.
About being enclosed.
Okay.
And tons of people show up.
And lots of churches are getting involved.
Lots of churches are getting involved. And this is a wonderful, wonderful way of getting involved in the city is to come to this night. There's several churches, and we've actually not gone to one, but we've actually gone to pick up our two girls.
We took care of our girls.
So they wouldn't be running all around and driving mom and daddy.
Well, bonkers. Plus they were serving at it.
And then we took them back. And I mean, it's a lot of people. Yeah. So everybody's welcome, and it's just a great time.
Yeah. And then if you would like to give, we have a giving box up front, a giving box in the foyer and back. And then if you'd like to give online, for those of you who are so inclined to do technology.
OneLifeFamilyWorship.com.
Yeah, OneLifeFamilyWorship.com. All right. So we have been, and I say we because it's actually been Gay and myself and Eric and Nancy going over our name, One Life Family Worship. And it is a little self-serving.
I don't look at it like that at all.
I know, but it's an opportunity for us to communicate with you why we have this name.
Yeah.
And that this name isn't just like, you know, just something that we picked out of the phone book. Yeah, I like that, or went online. It was like it developed over like 3 or 4 days. If you say the whole idea of the name change, but the name change itself happened over 3 or 4 days. And
much
much prayer and
people get in ideas.
Yep. And so this was suggested and prayed about by Lynette. She said, well, what about family? And Lynette was here leading worship and helping with us And I said, oh, because we had One Life Worship, and it just didn't sound right. One Life Worship. There's something missing. I said, so, guys, I want you to pray about it. And she said, what about family? And I said, what about family? And so it made total sense. Mm-hmm. And, of course, over the years, it's become even more apparent to us why that's in our name, mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people think of family, they're thinking of most of the time, family that is blood relatives. You know, they're thinking of their kids, they're thinking of their uncles, their nephews, and their nieces. You notice over here by where we take communion, it says it's all about family. We picked that up a few years ago and say, well, why is that there about on communion? Well, I'll save that for the end because I think it will hopefully all come together if we do this any justice. So again, we're going to be talking about family today. And we're going to start off with a unique verse. Not a lot of people know about this verse, and I think sometimes it gets overlooked, but I think it gives an idea of how God feels about individuals that aren't in a family. So go ahead, Psalm 68:6.
This is New King James Version. Here.
New King James. No, that's New King James. That's ESV.
This is ESV.
I don't have the most of the rest of the scripture ESV. So
okay. God settles the solidarity in a home.
Solitary.
Oh.
You're thinking of
credit union doesn't say it like that. Solitary, sorry. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
And then go ahead and read. The King James is
God sets the
solitary. Like think of solitary confinement. I know. It means you're going to be by
God
yourself.
God sets the solitary in families, but that really means unity of families, isn't it?
Like what this is saying, and once you read it, I'll explain what
he
this is saying.
He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
So God settles or sets the solitary, those that are by themselves, those that are alone in a home, in families. Wow. Now, how does this apply also bringing out those who are bound into prosperity and the rebellious then dwell in a dry land? Well, the idea here is that God takes those who are alone and puts them with those that can be their family. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that worked during the time of, you know, David's writing of this psalm, but or it might have been either Esau or the sons of Korah who wrote this. I didn't check and see. Excuse me. But the idea here is that he doesn't like people to be alone. He likes us to be in groups. And notice that in the King James, it says in families. In a place where there is, you know, how, a family, if you have family, what do they have? Well, that you got somebody that can scratch your back. That's like a practical one, right? Especially a wife, but even you can ask your kids sometimes, scratch your back. Somebody, oh, dad, this is gross. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know why some kids think that way, but they do. Oh, I don't want to scratch your back. But the point being is that there is a helpfulness. There's a, you know, lifting of the load. I want to say a union that comes from a family. And this is talking about the heart of God, that he wants to see, especially those who are alone, put into a family. Right?
Yeah.
All right. That's our first verse. Now let's go ahead and look at this. This is going into the New Testament now. And this is taking a little bit different look at the idea of family.
Mark 3:31-35.
Did you lose it?
Mark 3:31-35. Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him calling. And a crowd sat around him. And they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers seek you outside. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or brothers? Or my brothers? And having looked around on those sitting around him in a circle, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, this one is my brother and my sister and my mother.
So this is interesting. I remember the first time I read this, it's like, I go like, what is Jesus doing? This is his parents. This is his family. But Jesus wasn't that he was, just neglecting his family and forgetting about him, but he was now in his place of his calling and his ministry. He was now doing what he was called to do, and that was to bring God's children to the Father. That was his calling. He was bringing those who were lost, those who were blind, those who were crippled to the Father for healing, to the kingdom of God. And he's letting these individuals know that are there that his earthly mother and father, or earthly brothers and sisters and mother, his father, we don't hear about in the Gospels at all. So something must have happened to Joseph. But then we see here that they're coming and they want to talk to him. We want to talk to you. And we don't know why they were coming. We know at another place that the scripture said that his brothers came and said, he's out of his mind. And I don't know where they got that. You know, they grew up with him, but it's possible that he was, even though he was studying and growing, you know, in favor with God and men, as it says in Luke, it's very possible that he was stealth to his family and only maybe his mother really knew, you know, who he was. I don't know, because they're, you know, wanting to find out something from him. And he's looking around at the crowd and he says, hey, listen, you see this woman over here? This is my mother. And see over there, this guy, he's my brother. And here's my sister. And they're probably going like, what? And he explains to them what the principle is that as someone does the will of God, as someone lives the life for God, that's the will of God doesn't mean just do it one time. Mm-hmm. You know, it means that you're choosing to live out the will of God for your life. Right. You're choosing to say no to your own agenda, your own plans, your own desires, and you're choosing God. And for those who do that, they're my brother, they're my sister, they're my mother.
And he's not intentionally being cruel to his mother and brothers. He's using this as an example of what it means to serve the Lord and how he views us when we do.
He wasn't being cruel, but he was letting everybody know that he was in another state now. He was in, that his mothers and brothers, even though we know that at the end of his life, he told John to care for his mother, so it wasn't like he was just forgetting her.
Right.
And we know that some of his brothers and sisters, brothers for sure, end up becoming, leaders of the church. Mm-hmm. And so there is the dynamic that takes place here, that he is still part of his family. Right. But what he's saying here is that there's a greater family than my earthly family. I have a family that is a kingdom family. I have a family that's a spiritual family. And that's why he could look at those others and say, my brothers and my sisters. And you know that the crowd must have just been going, huh? Because they didn't understand the kingdom dynamics that he was coming from. Again, it's one of those expressions that he said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. And now down the road, after what we've learned through the scriptures, we can read that now and say, oh, okay, I know what he meant. But the ones then were like, what? Repeat that again, please.
How rude.
Yeah, how rude. Yeah. Very possible, because, honoring your father and mother was, was one of the Ten Commandments. Right. Exactly. And so, were they thinking, wow, is he not honoring them? And because they're saying, hey, they're here. You should go talk to them. And he's letting them know, no, there is a greater family here than my earthly family. I want to let you guys know that there is a dynamic that takes place with Christians as we follow the Lord. It's really easy to have it so that your earthly family doesn't have that influence in your life that they used to have. Doesn't mean that you don't love them. Doesn't mean you're not there for them. But your brothers and sisters can become more in the Lord than in your natural life. It's nice when both are happening. Same, yeah. Right. Where you have, in your case, you have a sister who loves the Lord and is saved and does very similar, type work as you. She ministers and stuff. And so you have a lot in common. So she's not a physical sister only. She's a spiritual sister,
right.
And Jesse, he's like, for me, like a best friend for, over 30 years, a long time. We were figuring out the other day. It's more like almost, I think it's getting close to 40 years.
Right.
What does that mean? It means the old. Yeah. It's just like Tim says on our deal, we're old people. But the idea here is that he was a friend in the natural first. And then over the years, he's become a brother. Yeah. Which is, and I don't have an earthly brother, I have him. And he is like, a dear brother to me. Yeah. And it's vice versa.
Right.
So how do we live now that we know this? How do we change our way of thinking? Because Jesus knew that his mothers and brothers, sisters were the ones that were around him. They were the real family. Because he doesn't say, this is my mother and my brother and my sister also. He doesn't say that.
And I know from experience that that's painful when your kids are serving the Lord and decide to serve the Lord somewhere else. I know how painful that is because it's happened to me, and I tried not to let it be personal, but for a mama, that's hard. For a mama's heart, that's not easy. And so I do understand that predicament that Mary and the brothers may have been in. Like, what do you mean? Those are your family. No, we're your family. But what we have to understand is that, again, this life is a vapor. It is so quick. Again, if you want to know how quick, go to your bathroom mirror, go, and then watch it fade. And that's how fast our life is in comparison to the whole time, the whole lifetime of being with Jesus and everything. And he's not minimizing the earthly connection of mother, children, fathers and sons, but he is trying to put a priority on it. for us is that if they're one, if they're serving the Lord, be happy about that. Doesn't matter where they're at. They are with you know, they are in the pocket of Jesus. They love him and they're serving him. But what's very hard for us, and particularly women, because women are very relational. They tend to be very, I'll give you, for instance, they had this one woman look at the setup of the Super Bowl. And this was years ago. And they said, you know, what can we do to appeal to the women's gender instead of the men? Because we know men are like, oh, get that football, run the field, you know, do all that stuff. And they said, she told them, you need to start doing stories about these players. You need to say that one of the players' wives is home and should be having a baby anytime, but he's out here playing the Super Bowl. Or so-and-so just lost his mother last week and he's out here playing. And this becomes relational. This is it makes it personal. And that's where they're hooking the women for the Super Bowl. Well, now it happens all the time through football and
baseball, and other sports, yeah,
and soccer and whatever. Because when you want to have a broader base of people, you cater to it. So women tend to be very relational. This right here doesn't feel relational. And so it kind of sends us on a little bit of a tilt. Like, okay, I get it, but still, she's his mom and, you know, all of those things. But we, again, have to go back to the vapor and how quickly this life is. And understanding Jesus' perspective, he's looking at forever.
Exactly.
And looking down to this one moment of Jesus saying, you're my brothers, my sisters, and my mother.
Right.
God's looking at the whole, and we're looking at just a part. So we got to get over it. Girls, I'm sorry to say, we got to get over it. We have to understand that, you know, kids are going to be kids. And if they diss you, well, you got to forgive and forget. And trust me, I am speaking to myself. Vicky's sitting over here shaking her head. Yes, she knows. I'm speaking to myself. And apparently I'm speaking to Tisha back there, too, because her and her daughter are now in an all-out fight back there. But anyway. So that's just, remember that God looks at it from a whole perspective and not just this little minute of time.
Well, and the thing is, again, from his perspective, he's being very relational. That's the thing, because the relationships that last through eternity are what?
Are
not husband and wives, not even husband and wives.
Spiritual ones.
Spiritual ones.
Right.
Vicky, you need to come up and speak on the speaker, the microphone.
Dead air, people can't hear.
Yeah, it's complaints all over the place, and yeah. I don't like being complained to.
So my thinking, too, is that this was God's way of saying.
Yeah, it's on.
That sounds
hard to hear.
It's on.
This, to me, I'm also thinking this was God's way of saying nobody is greater than or lesser than anybody else mm-hmm. in the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
well said. True.
Very good.
That us as his children, we're also his mother, you know, all siblings, that neither of us are greater, that he loves us all equally. It doesn't mean how sinful we've been or how pious we've been. He's loving us.
That's a beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And I have to say this because, you know, in Catholicism, Mary is considered venerated. Yeah. And veneration is, I mean, I don't have a problem with veneration, which means highly esteemed or honored, respected. But it also can have terms that are, you know, making them like God. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Church has this belief that basically Mary is a go-between between Jesus and God and
man.
Mm-hmm. And that she is also, I mean, they have a term like Queen Mother. So I think, and this is why I love the scripture, I think the scripture kind of puts a dent in that. Because mm-hmm. if this was Queen Mother, I think he would say, oh, bring her in. Yeah, have her, you know, I just think park the crowd. This is somebody that's very important. We need to, you know, but he's letting us know that his family, like you said, is a level playing field. Mm-hmm. You know, God is no respecter of persons, and each one of us has great value and love and honor from our Father, our Heavenly Father.
I've heard it said at the foot of the cross is level ground.
Level ground. Exactly. So this is God's family Jesus is talking about. His family, of which today you guys are part of that family. And so if I'm his brother and Elaine is his sister and Phyllis is his sister and Vicky's his sister and David's his brother, and what's that make us? Makes us family, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes us family. Okay, well, let's look at some more scriptures. Some of you I can see, like, Pastor Mike, you lost it. Okay, go ahead. Ephesians 2:19.
So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers. On the contrary, you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's family.
Oh, here we go. So you're no longer foreigners and strangers. In other words, in Ephesians, he was talking about how they were once basically alienated from the truth. They were alienated from especially the Gentiles were alienated from the promises of God because they weren't Jews. And Ephesus was now a Gentile church. There were some Jews in it, but it was mainly a Gentile church. And he's saying, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. On the contrary, you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's family. One Life Family Worship. We're family. We're part of God's family. And how we view that from either a biblical perspective or just a natural perspective can change the way that we view each other. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, some family members in a natural family have aught with each other. Mm-hmm. They don't get along. I mean, how many have heard of things like where brothers haven't talked for years? Mm-hmm. They're estranged, mm-hmm, because of an incident that happened. And because of that, you know, other people in the family suffer. And for the body of Christ, it shouldn't be that way. We should not let things that take place keep us from, I guess, for lack of a better term, cultivating and growing in relationship. When one offends, then the other one needs to have restoration. Do you have something? Okay. Ephesians 3:14-15.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named.
Oh my goodness. For this reason, you guys can go back and read the rest of chapter 3,
right,
but it's basically for everything that he's been talking about Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice, the mystery of God, and all of the truths that we understand about him. But for this reason, he's bowing his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Family in heaven and family on earth.
That pretty much speaks for everybody.
Yeah. Because we have not just physical family members in heaven, we have spiritual family members in heaven that we have never met yet in the natural, but they're waiting for us.
Right.
And Jesus is the one who brings us together in that relationship.
Mm.
Jesus is the one who makes us one godly family.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make sense? Okay. You're going, boy, your guys' name is really complicated. Well, kind of is, but hopefully we're explaining it a little bit. Okay, Galatians 6:10.
So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Household of faith. Household is like a family. It's translated in most Bibles, household, but who lives in your household? Strangers? maybe every now and then you might get a stranger who, you know, you meet somewhere and you're going to give them a place to stay. But most of the time, our household is what? Our family. So you could read this. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the family of faith. I like to call ourselves here a faith gathering. I also like to call ourselves a family of faith gathering. And, you know, instead of just a church, we're going to go to church. You know, we're going to have a gathering of the family of God. Why? Well, because the way that we express who we are and how we gather helps us understand more about what God's doing. If we just all the time saying, yeah, I'm going to go to church. Well, number one, you are the church. So the church is actually going to a building. Part of the church is going to a building. This is a building. This is not the church. Those stone walls are not the church. You are the church. This building becomes a church because we are in the church, because we're in the building. I don't have a problem calling it the church. I don't say we're going to meet at the church, but I'm trying to get us to understand that this is not the church. We are the church. We make this building a church. How many of you like ever gone camping with some friends, believers? You're around a fire and you start sharing maybe some worship songs or something like that. All of a sudden you go like, wow, we're having church. It's because you two or three have gathered together in his name and you're worshiping him. And you're singing praise to him. And that place becomes church. You know, you could be with your family having dinner and getting ready to say, you know, the blessing, and somebody starts praying, and all of a sudden, you know, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. They start praying a real fervent prayer and worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden the atmosphere can change and it's like you're having church. Mm-hmm. The church is having church. Yeah.
I love it. On Saturday nights, when we first got married, we used to have a bunch of people come over and bring their guitars, and we serve food, and we would just sit around and sing worship songs. And there was like sometimes 20, 25 people.
Oh, there are a lot. In our house. Yeah.
I mean, we loved it. And Jesus smiled on that as much as he does this. Like that, it's family coming together, and it's family breaking bread, and it's family singing worship, and it's family. And so we need to understand we are family.
We are family.
Yeah.
We are family. So what does that mean? It says that we're to do good, especially to those who are the family of faith. Those are the family of God. That's why we should care for one another, you know, esteem one another greater than ourselves. You know, when one's suffering, we're all suffering. You know, we need to realize that, you know, we're not just autonomous individuals that are just coming here for a little bit of time, spending time together in the same space, and then we go away and we're just going to remain autonomous. No, our hearts should continually be coming closer and closer together to the place where when we know that there's a need in the body, we help. When we know that one is sick, we're praying for them, you know, or we're asking, is there something I can do for you? That is participating as a family. And we don't want to take an earthly family and then stamp it on a godly family. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to say, well, just as you live in your natural family, you also have a spiritual family. No, the spiritual family is the preeminent family because it's the eternal family.
Right.
Now, when your natural family is part of that spiritual family, it's great. It's, you know, there's actually more of a blessing because it's like you're going into another level. Mm-hmm. But still, the earthly family only has a temporary existence. I know that sounds weird, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you and I both are of the understanding that when we get to heaven, that we're not married.
Right.
And we're not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not married again anymore. You know, she's going to be in fulfillment as a co-heir of Christ that we've been promised to be.
So I have a question to ask.
Ask me?
Yeah, just in
ask
general.
Them.
So what do you do if some of your family are not of the family of faith? And let's just say it's us, we pick something with the family of God versus with our natural family, and they say, you always pick the church over me.
Oh, yeah.
How do you respond to that when you're doing when you're doing like church on Sunday morning and they call and say, no, I need you right now. And you say, we have church. What do you do then?
Well, I guess it depends. I mean, there's times that would be a ministry.
Right.
You know, I probably wouldn't have viewed that years ago that way,
right.
You know, because I've changed my thinking, because if they don't know the Lord, that's an opportunity to show love.
Right.
That's an opportunity to go and care for their needs so that they feel worth and value and hopefully the love of God. You know, I came from a background that going to church was part of my spirituality. Going to church was part of what made me a Christian. Going to church was part of what made me
acceptable in God's sight
and in my own sight. You know, I miss church. Like, oh my Lord, what have I done? You know, it's like, you know, and that was, you know, partly because of stuff that I was taught, but it was also partly because of the way that I viewed myself. So when someone would ask me to do that, oh, I've got to go to church. You know, I wouldn't think about, you know, taking care of that need,
right.
Especially if you're on staff or something like that, which right. We had a long time. We had a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
We were children's pastors. You know, we were youth leaders. We led the, you know, the small groups. They've been into everything.
Actually,
somebody prophesied one time that we just loved serving, and we'd be happy if we were just standing on our head and stacking BBs. And really, that's true.
That's
That's how we were.
We still are, sort of.
To a certain degree,
right.
Yeah. So answer your question. I think the thing is that we need the mind of Christ. You know, if you know, you're in such a state that going there mm-hmm. is going to, you know, hurt your faith
right.
because you're not getting fed anywhere else. You're not reading your word, or you're going through a struggle. I mean, that's a time maybe that, you know, you would pick going to church over helping your family. But I'm of the opinion now that if we go and we serve anyone, you know, could be your next door neighbor on a Sunday, saying, hey, can you help me move out this morning? You know, years ago, I would say, oh boy, can they do it after church? You know, it's like, we gotta get that church in. You know, I would say, if someone called me and said that now, awesome. Well, we'll pray for you and bless them. And because mm-hmm. that's being a servant. That's right. Being someone that's actually showing the love of God. Does that answer your question? Or is that like did I sidestep it too much?
Yeah, I think you answered it.
You answered it? Okay. I answered it? Okay.
Sort of.
Well, the whole thing about it is we always say this whenever someone like, okay, Vicki, can I use you and I for an example? Vicki the week before, Vicki could not attend the women's Bible study because she had something going on with family. And I always, always say this without a doubt, family comes first because God knows our hearts. He's not going to be offended if you miss Bible study one Tuesday night or church on Sunday morning. Your family does need to become the first in your priority list. However, if it's so that somebody can go and I don't even know how to prioritize something there, but to watch a game or whatever, it would be, you know what, I'll be over as soon as church is done. I mean, that's what I would say. Because I'm not going to pick the Seahawks game at somebody's home when a lot of people are screaming, yelling and all of that versus going to church. I would say, I'll be over there as soon as we get done with church. That's what I would say. But if it was somebody that needed help, and this is how we made our decision to go move down to Tri-Cities and why we're there from Monday to Friday and here Saturday and Sunday is our family needed us and they lived in Tri-Cities. And they have 5 kids and they had no community. They just had themselves and it was horrendous. And there was a divorce involved and sickness involved and all of that. So we moved down there. We've been down there for 2 years and we come home every single weekend. And God has given us a grace because, guys, we have put our family first. We have said they're very important. This is a ministry for us. We minister to our family. But then we come up here and we minister together with all of you guys. It's very important to us. So we could say, no, I'm not going to do that. But we have to really consider, you know, God can give grace where, you know, we don't have the grace for it. He really can. So we really have to ask him and know the mind of Christ, just like you.
That's the key, because we could tell them what we've done. You could share what you've done. You could share what you, but what does the Lord want you to do?
So many of us want to hear the answer.
Like someone says, Pastor, what should I do? I say, well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I can tell you what, when you're explaining things to me, what are of certain importance here and certain importance there, and I'll point out those things, but I will not tell you what your final decision should be. That's between you and God, you and your family. I mean, it's just, it would be wrong for me to do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't even tell you exactly what, I've never hardly ever told you. I say, what does the Lord tell you? I will bring up scriptures. If it's something that you need, you know, some other information, I'll do that. But I really believe we need to be accountable for who we are.
Yes.
And what decisions we make. Now, for my kids, you know, as they were growing up, I made decisions for them all the time, but they weren't ready to make those kind of decisions.
Can I stay home and play games? No, you may not. You're going to church.
Exactly.
That was an easy one.
Yeah, but the point being is that we need to remember that the God, and getting back to what we're talking about, God has put us in a family. Mm-hmm. And some of us were solitary families, not celerity families, solitary families. And he put us in this family here. You know, I think of Zeke and Tara and their family, you know, over the years, we've become very close, you know, and, you know, it's like, we're like part of the real natural family now.
Well, we like to think so because they feed us so much. No, I'm kidding.
No, we really feel that way. I mean, we're there for all the birthdays, and I mean, it's like, but that's because we were family of faith first.
Yeah.
See, first came the faith family, the love, the honor, the respect, you know, and everything that came with that. And then it morphed into the natural family.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, you know, and, you know, I love it. And that only comes with time. You know, you have to nurture relationships. I mean, to have a good faith family, you have to nurture relationships. We can't just come here and say, we're a faith family, and then walk out on Sunday and never talk to anybody again, you know, until the next Sunday. And that's why just hanging after church sometimes and talking and fellowshipping is a good way to build relationship. But really, you need to go out like to dinner. You need to break bread with somebody. You need to spend quality time with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get to know their heart.
Speaking of
what their life was like.
Sunday, waffle, 10 o'clock waffles. In the morning.
Waffles. See, that's a great time. Sit there and break bread.
Family time.
Literal. Waffle bread. Yeah. So are you ready to, can you just do one of the songs you previously did and pick one? And so we're a household of faith.
Yeah.
We're a family of faith. And that is part of who we are in our name, that we are family. And we don't always display that properly. Does regular family let you down?
Yeah,
we'll let you down sometimes, but know that that's not our heart. The intent of our heart is not to, you know, cause pain to others. Right. True family lets others grow and make mistakes. Are you going? No, yeah. I can't because I'm still here. So get up here. So, Father, we just are so grateful and thankful, Lord, that we're part of the family of God. And, Lord, I know some of us are still learning what that means. And maybe today some have heard this for the first time. Lord, I pray that you would allow those truths to come into their heart, Lord, so that they would know what it means to be part of your family, your sons, your daughters, that we're brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, Lord. So Lord, help us as a One Life Family Worship to let that part of us, family, be characteristic so that all can see. Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your living home. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more.
Become more filled with your presence, Lord, so that we can share it, Lord, with this world and, Lord, with the family of faith that you have given us. Just be blessed today. Have a great one. We love you and hope to see you soon. Don't forget, next week, waffles, the word. No, waffles, worship, and the word, and then waffles. So, bless you.